goes too high. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you, and bow down before you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you.
doing any good, is it?
Glad he has made me glad. He has
Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. God, we need your help.
Joy. Okay, finding keys is just not my thing tonight, y'all. I'm sorry. You're going to have to pray for me. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full.
thanksgiving in my heart, I will enter his courts with praise. Isn't that something we should be thinking when we come through that door? No, I came in and I wasn't feeling too sparky. No song started playing. You know what? I just had to raise my hands and thank you, Lord. I want to enter his gates, thanksgiving in my heart. I want to enter his courts with praise. I'm thinking when we walk in those doors, that's what we should be thinking. That's what we should be feeling. You know what? It's been a long week. It's been a down week. You know what? We come through the door. I feel better. Feel the praise. Thank you, Lord. You know what? I was reading the Bible this week, and my mind started. I started reading about the parable of the sower. You just turn over. I think it's Matthew 13 is where it's at. And you know, it just goes through all the scenarios. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he who sowed some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns had sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know what? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God thought of me. He put me on good ground. He put me on good ground. You know what? That good ground has to be tilled up first. You know that? You know, it's probably some you ever farm or anything like that, or have any kind of gardening. You know, you're going to have rocky ground. You can have clay, real clay ground that retains water. You know what? Sometimes you got to work the soil a little bit. You got to till it. You got to put some nutrients in there, some nitrogen. You know what? You got to get your heart ready for this. And you can't just jump in this. Yeah, you can. You know, you got to start somewhere. You start out rocky. You know what? Sooner after sooner, it starts breaking down. You start tilling up the soil. You start putting some nutrients in there. And you know what? You get thirsty. And you know what? You grow. I'm thankful to be growing here tonight. I grew up in this. And you know what? I didn't know what I had. I didn't know what I had until I saw what was out there. I never left church or anything. But you know, you leave, you go out. I mean, this world's where enough. You get out for a little bit. You know what's out there. And I'm thankful that God's kept me. I'm glad he held me fast. Yeah. I'm thankful that I heard knowing him, he will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he would hold me fast. You know, you got to think about it sometimes. Think of all places you've been, you got to think, he will hold me fast. You know, sometimes you're down in the dirt, he will hold me fast. When I'm discouraged, he will hold me fast. When I need to reach up, he will hold me fast. He will hold us fast. And you know what? We got to be ready to be held fast. We got to be ready to hold him. You know, he got to be ready to reach our hands up and say, pick me up. Yeah. You know, you ever picked up a dog or a baby who did not want to be picked up? Yeah. You ever done that? You know, they start bowing up on you. I don't want to be bowing up on God. I don't want to be, I mean, it's dead weight. And you got to pull them up. You got sometimes you got to pull up your brothers like that. You know, sometimes they don't want to be picked up. You know what you got to do in that situation? Dump them off. Wash your hands of them. I know one time, I had to pull out point finger, but I had to do that with Caleb when he was going through a rough time. And you know what? I'm thankful I did, because no matter how much I tried everything, he's my brother. I grew up with him, and you know what? No matter what I did, sometimes you got to let God deal with him. Sometimes you let God deal with you, and you know what? Look where he's at now. I'm thankful for where God brought me from and where he could have been. I'm thankful for that. And I just want to raise my hand and say, you know what? We got a youth meeting coming up. Let's get our soul tilled up. Let's be ready to receive this. You know, great things are coming down the barrel at us, but you know what? If our soul's not tilled up, it won't matter. So let's get our soul tilled up here tonight, saints. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Miss my opportunity to stand tonight and say how thankful I am to be here. The services all day really has touched me. I needed a good service today just to remind me, you know, all the good things that the Lord's done for us. And I was thinking when Sister Lynette started that course, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I was thinking, you know, so many times, you know, Brother Phil talked about this morning about praising the Lord and just coming in and that's what we're here to do. We're here to grow and to praise. And I was just thinking about, you know, we say it all the time, but the opportunity to get to come here, it's really a blessing. And we have so many youth. We have, you know, I don't know how many for sure, but we have quite a few. And, you know, we don't want to get into the same pattern of every youth night or every service just sitting back. You know, youth, this is our night. The ones who are out here still in the congregation, the ones who are still up here on the platform, it's our night to take hold. You know, if we're coming in here and we're singing, you know, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, let's start thanking him. Let's start raising our hands so that when we come in here, it's not just words. There's actions behind what we sing. There's reasons we sing, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. And the last chorus of this morning was, this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And I was thinking, this week has not been a good week for me. It is not. There was not much joy that I found in this week at work, with friends, not friends here, friends out in the world. You know, I couldn't find much joy in it. But this morning when I got here and the band struck up and the song service started and we had good preaching this morning, I got joy from that. I got filled from that. How many times have you come in here and you've been empty? You've been needing something, and you can come in here and you can get filled. If, like Zach said, if we start preparing, if we start getting ready to receive something great, God can do something great in this service tonight if we'll let him, if we will open our hearts. And when we're singing about praise, when we're talking about praise, we start praising. We set ourselves aside. And I know myself personally, I can't look at eyes individually while I talk, or I get real nervous. I'll start getting shaky and stuttering, and I'll lose track of what I'm thinking. But if I can set myself aside, if I can set my pride aside, and if I can just come in here and say, Lord, whatever you'll have of this service, I want to open my heart and I want to start praising you, because I know I can't face this world alone. There are things that are in this world. There's things when I'm in college that I deal with on a daily basis. At my job, there are things that I deal with on a daily basis. And youth, as you grow up, as you begin to get jobs, there's some here who have and some here who do not have jobs. As you start getting them, you'll start realizing, you know, you'll start feeling the weight of the world a little bit, and you'll start realizing, oh, this is why they talk about when we come to church, let's praise. This is why they talk about, you know, giving our all when we're in service to get strength for tomorrow, for the next day. And I want to do that tonight, because I do have to go to work tomorrow, and I do have to go back out into the world. But I know that the Lord will keep me if I just let him. If I hang on, he'll hang on to me. So I just want to praise the Lord tonight. You know, I don't want to get into the routine of whether it's a regular service or a youth service or anything, but I did want to lift my voice tonight and say, you know, I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be in the body. We have an opportunity. Youth, don't miss that opportunity. I was in several of your shoes just a few years ago. You know, there was a time that I sat on the pew out here, right around here, and I would play with my toys, my cars, my dinosaurs, you know, and that's what I did at church because I was young and I didn't know. But I'm just so thankful that I heard enough. You know, it's funny, you know, sitting with next to Brooklyn or something, and you'll think she's playing. You know, she's got her toys out and she's playing. But you start walking out of service and she'll say, did you hear this? And it's something that one of the ministers said or somebody testified, and it really is something. She caught just a little nugget. You know, it's those things that I think about when I was growing up. Those things kept me. You know, when I started having a bad day, when I started going through trials, when I'm going through a trial right now, those things will keep us if we just begin to open our hearts and take a part of the service and get involved. I'm just so thankful tonight that we do have an opportunity, that we can have a youth night. Not every church has a youth night. Not every church has a youth. Not many churches. There's a church that I went and visited a while back, and they had two youth. They didn't have anybody. They didn't have friends. They didn't have people that they could talk with. They didn't have Zach to go up to and say, this is what's really on my heart right now, you know, and I really feel this, because that, you see how important that is, and I'm just so thankful for that. We need to appreciate that. You know, there are things we need to appreciate more, the fact that the freedom we have. We talk about it a lot, but we do have a freedom here. We're not in bondage. There are places you could go to be in bondage. The world can cause bondage. I've seen it. I know. But we have such an opportunity. We have been so blessed to get to come in here and to take a part, and I don't want to miss that opportunity. You know, I want to appreciate the Lord and what he's doing for me. As that song said, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you for the things that you've done in my life. I can't help but praise when I start thinking about all the things that you've done. And I'm just so thankful to be here tonight.
It hurts me to say sometimes that I don't have the testimony that I've been in church, that I stayed in church and never left. And I don't have the testimony that that I was never in bondage of the world, but and got involved in things I shouldn't have got involved in. But I'm thankful that I do have the testimony that through it all, that God kept his hand on me anyway. And God loved me, and he kept some fire going to where I knew something was wrong, and that I didn't ever get to the point to where I didn't care anymore. And I'm thankful that that God kept his hand on me. He gave me another chance, another opportunity to be a part of what he's doing here, because this is an amazing work. And I see every day, the older I get, the farther I go in my walk with God and with this church and with the body, that God is taking this somewhere, and he's making it beautiful. I can't wait to see what's going on in the Dominican Republic. I want to go there sometime, because it sounds amazing. And it sounds beautiful from what they tell me, that the gospel is advancing and going to new levels there, and people's eyes are being opened. But it also blows my mind that when I see someone that's been going through a rough time the same way I was, and did things that they were ashamed of, and know that when they finally realize that there is something greater, and there is a better way, there is a point to this life. You don't just go through it and go through the motions. There is a goal that we have that we're going to reach in that place with God, that we are going to what's that saying, rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. I'm looking forward to a lot more than 1,000 years. I gotta tell you, I'm excited about the work God's doing here. I don't want to take it for granted. These songs that we played, that second song that we played, I think. No, the one after that. I will rejoice because he has made me glad. Am I going to rejoice because he has made me glad? Or am I going to rejoice? Am I going to rejoice because he has made me glad? Because he has given me this feeling. He's given me this amazing opportunity. I didn't have much to say. I didn't want to stand up too long. But I wanted to get across to everybody how much I love all of you. How much I appreciate my brothers and my sisters for not giving up on me. And for showing me that same love when I came back. That I was so afraid when I came back that it wasn't going to be the same. But let me tell you, it was greater. It was greater because God gave me an understanding of what was out there. He gave me an understanding of what was in here, and that there is a difference. There is a difference between going through the motions and really giving your life and really dedicating your life to God. And I want to do that tonight. I want to ask, are we all going to do that? Are we going to really strive tonight to see what he wants for us? Not to just go home tonight and everything be good, but we need to get something out of this service tonight. We need to get something from God tonight. We need to ask, Lord, what do you have for us? Not what do I want for myself. Not do I need... Do I need to hear this, or do I want someone to come tell me this, but what do you want me to know? What do you want to show me? And I better sit down. I'm just starting to rattle on, but I'm thankful to be here tonight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just wanted to say that I'm thankful to be here, and when Brandon said out in the world, I was thinking about my school. I was thinking, when I'm at my school, I'm doing the same motions every day, but when I'm here, it's different. It's different every time you come here. It's different, and you can actually feel something here. And at school, you don't do much. That's it.
Praise I know it's kind of overdue, me getting up. I haven't gotten up so long. I just kind of wanted to share my heart tonight. My heart's been beating so fast, it was killing me back there. I don't know if it's from the energy drink or from God. I was kind of wanting to talk about when I went to campground. It was the last night I was there. I think it was Thursday night. And every single night, every time I go to campground, there's been a prayer line every church service night. And I was like, I'm getting kind of tired of this. So I just kind of sat up there in the balcony, just waiting around, until it's over. And it's going to be over in 15 minutes. Sister Lynette, she came up to me and she said that she had a burden for me. And she wanted to get something out of the service. And that kind of touched me. And it was maybe God does have something for me. But I still didn't want to go up in the prayer line. So all the rest of the guys that went, they went down front, and I was just kind of sitting up there, and I just kneeled over and started praying to God, say, what do you want to give me, Lord? I didn't really get much, but I learned something. I learned how to not, instead of just rush and feel, I have to get down front. I have to get something, down front. I have to get prayed for. I have to, to receive something. Well, after I just listened to God and listened to the service and listened to everybody praise and worship in God, I just got this touch down inside me, and it humbled me so much that I could just wait and listen on the Lord and get a feeling from the Lord and just get a touch just by listening and preparing myself, opening my heart. I just wanted to share that tonight. And just I challenge the youth, just really open your heart and listen to the Lord and ask what the Lord wants to give you for this youth meeting that's coming up. Just do that along with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.
You know why I like young people? They keep you young. I used to hear that when I was young. I didn't understand what they were saying. I just love being around them and listening to their ideals and their viewpoints. And I have a real bad habit of giving my viewpoint. But I really appreciate the youth. I find Jaron a very interesting person to listen to. I just enjoy the youth, and I enjoy young people. But when Nathan was talking just now, and I know he didn't mean for people not to go down front, but one time I went to the campground, and it was several years ago, and I had a really strong need when I went, and Brother Smith didn't get to come that summer, and Sister Pat Arthurs went with me, and we both had the same. Both had something we needed. We didn't really share, but I was going through probably one of the darkest valleys in my Christian life spiritually. I needed something. I wasn't going through any trials like financial or sickness or worry about kids or anything going on in the church. It was something that I needed from God. I was at the meeting, and I went expecting, and I didn't hear, that message I was waiting to hear, from the pulpit that was going to click a light off in my head or whatever. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not going to tell you how to give this to me. I said, however you want to change me. But I have something I want to say. I've gone down in the spirit. I've wallowed around on the floor, not woke up till the next day, and was in the same stinking spirit I went down in when I woke up. I said, now I know that I can go down, and I'm not too proud to do that. I want you to know that. I'm not too proud. I hope I'm not too proud, however you want to change me. And every day I woke up, I could start to feel it. Woo! Every day I woke up, I felt the Holy Ghost stronger. Every time I put my feet on the floor, and I got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I could not tell you, except God did something in my life. He did it the way he wanted to do it, when he wanted to do it, and how he wanted to do it. And I told him, I said, if you want me to go through the prayer line and you want to waller me down and you want me to be out for 2 or 3 days, hey, I'm ready. But I need something changed inside of me. You know, you can live for God. I remember when I first got married, you know, when I met my husband, I don't know, I did not like short guys at all. I just did not like short guys. I was only 5 foot, and so I wouldn't even look at a short guy. They had such a cocky attitude, and I just didn't like little guys. I'm sorry, Zach, but I just didn't like little guys, and I thought they had to be 6'2 or over, you know, like I was some big thing, you know, and I just thought that was a real man, you know, he was tall. But I met him, and I just flipped over him. Well, we got married, and we moved to this town. We didn't know a soul. I couldn't do this today. I'm telling you, I could not do this today. We moved to this town. We didn't know a soul. We had one car. My in-laws lived about an hour away, but they didn't like me anyway, so I took their good kid and ruined him or whatever. And anyway, so I had nothing to do, but you know, wait for him to come over today. And that was for blow dryers and hair curlers and all the fancy stuff we have now. So I looked great when he came home and couldn't hardly cook, but I had something cooked. And I had his bath water ran, and I'd wash his back and spit shine his shoes and, you know, did everything for him. I loved him so much. I know he tells about how I was a tiger and he couldn't hardly handle me, but he wasn't a good trainer either. No. I told somebody in the Dominican, I said, you know, I can train a dog in about 5 minutes, but 43 years, I still can't train a man. You know. Anyway, so my point is, as time goes on and struggles go on, and then my husband started having businesses in our home, and I was just I loved for him to go to work and for me to prepare for him. I loved it. I loved to prepare the house and to clean it and look nice and have Michael clean and have dinner ready. I was a June Cleaver type girl, you know. I didn't look like her, but I liked doing that. Then he started having business at home and started pastoring, and it was like, I don't know, you start taking that for, you just start treating it differently. You're not that excited. I mean, you love them, but you're not, you don't have that like, oh, can I get that for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you today, honey, to make your life easier? I read about it, but I can't seem to do that, you know. And you know, when I first met Jesus, I was so excited. I was telling everybody about him. I was telling everybody about this Savior that I found. I was so excited. They thought I lost my mind, but I didn't care. They thought I lost my mind when I met my husband. But I didn't care what they thought. I was so excited. I was so excited. And then when I got the Holy Ghost, I just couldn't wait to speak in tongues again. I'd do it at home. You know, I was just loved it, you know, and told everybody about it, and they didn't want it, you know. But when I came this way, oh, man, there I went again. I was so excited, you know. I was telling everybody about it, and this went on for years, years. But there came a time that I just got complacent. Not that I was sinning, not that I'm doing anything. I'm just going through the motions, and that's what I was going through back in my 40s. And I still struggle with that sometimes. Okay, girl, you just, you, as soon as the floor hits, you just do your routine. You're, you know, where's God today, you know? And it's exciting if we just renew our first love. Just as exciting as the day that you went to the altar. He's the same today and forever. And I just love him so much. He has been so good to me. So good to me. I've been thinking about all my blessings that I have. I've had such a good life. God has been so good to me. And whatever you need, however God wants to give it to you, open your hearts. We have a big youth meeting coming. And open your hearts and your let him do however he wants to do it. If he wants to roll you around, or if he just wants to speak to you in a small voice, or every time you get out of bed that morning, you're feeling him stronger and stronger and stronger, and he can talk to you. I remember Michael was the only youth in our small church we had in Texas. And I really was concerned about him. And then Brother Smith wanted me to homeschool him, and I didn't want to. But we did. But Brother Smith took the lead in it, and it worked. But I would listen to him. Sometimes I'd hear him in his room speaking in tongues, crying out to God. He was lonely. He is a people person. And listening to him turn to God in his room, I've told many young people and many adults, you don't have to be in service to touch your Savior. You can be in your room at night, laying in bed, and start talking to him and speaking in tongues and communing with him, because he understands your need more than anybody. And I love every one of you tonight, and I'm so excited to be home. It was a good trip. I thoroughly enjoyed Brother Fisher being with us, and it was an outstanding trip. And it was so nice to be able to stay with Brother and Sister Green instead of staying in a motel. I really enjoyed it, and I appreciate every one of you.
Got through, I felt good, so I prayed about 15 minutes, and so I still felt good. So I sang gospel songs for about 15 minutes. Some of them were body songs, but some weren't, but I'm glad y'all weren't here to hear me sing. But it didn't sound that bad to me, but anyway, I've been reading in Jeremiah, you know, like Brother Fisher was saying today, you know, there's a parallel between Israel and America, and, you know, it's... Every kind of scheme and evil, you may have heard this. I don't know if I've heard this before, but I was reading the paper yesterday. It's been going on in Springdale, Arkansas, and they say they go to one of these convenience stores, and they pick the pump farthest from the store because they feel they might be seen by the clerk, and they put a card reader on the pump and get into the car, and if you use a credit card or a debit card, they can get your information. So, you know, it's just seems like there's just more schemes and more evil. I got a letter in the mail yesterday from the Netherlands, and it said if I would send them $50, it'd send me a check for $70,000. So you know that is that's a scheme. But anyway, you know, God told Jeremiah, he said, don't pray for Israel. They're not going to change, you know. And so I don't see much point in praying for America, because it seems like it's just hell-bent on becoming more and more evil. And, you know, there's some people that don't believe in original sin. And believe it or not, there are atheists that believe that man, with his technology, is going to come up with a way to bring about biological immortality. There's people that... really believe that, you know. But of course, man, there's all kinds of beliefs, but I like to learn things, and I study another day, and some of you may be aware of it, but or maybe most of you, but I don't know if I was aware of the fact that it said it was over 300 years after Jesus died before it was decided what books would be put in the New Testament. And it said that Bishop Athanasius, he was the Bishop of Alexandria, Egypt, and he decided that what 27 books would go in the New Testament. And so they debated for several decades, but they finally decided on the 27 that we have now. And so I like to learn things. You know, I was reading the other day, it said the temple in Jerusalem, if this was right what I read, counting the outer court and the outer walls, that you could fit 25 football fields in it. So that gives you some idea of how big it was. And if what I was reading was true, it said the outside walls were 10 stories high. I don't know if that's true or not, but I like to learn things. And I've been watching the DVDs of the camp meeting, and I remember somebody sitting there, they said, you know, out of 7 billion people, what is the odds that you would wind up in the body of Christ? So, you know, you think about that, out of all the people in the world, what's the odds that we would be here? But anyway, we've been blessed of God, and you know, I don't want to be proud, but I get to think about my neighbors, you know, and I think they don't know anything. I mean, if they only knew what I knew, but they don't know, they're know nothings. I mean, they just don't know anything. So we have been blessed of God, and we don't want to be like Israel in America and not appreciate God. And so about to run out of anything to say, but it's so good to be here, and just give thanks to God.
Probably do everybody good. I won't be up in just a second. I really feel something on my mind, and I'd just like to share it if I can, just briefly. Appreciate everything that the Lord's done, and the song service, when I was a little bit disjointed in some ways, it provoked some thought in me as we was moving down here with the young people. There was a thought line presented in the songs about entering his court with thanksgiving. Zach touched on that, Brother Zach. And while I was down here, wasn't a real deep move of the spirit. We was all standing right there. We all know what it felt like. But I felt like the Lord touched my mind on a thought of this right here, the difference between enrichment and fortification. The difference between being enriched and being fortified. And I feel that our lives have been enriched, but our souls have been fortified. And if you start let me just give you this. I know most of y'all know these things, but maybe there might be one or two that don't. Whenever you take food, the most common one is flour. You take flour, it has a certain nutritional value before it's processed. And that can be calculated. And then through the process of being refined, it loses nutrients and it has to be enriched. So they put back what was lost in it. And if you go into Matthew, the 6th chapter, and it's a very common thing this that we read. I'll just touch on this just a moment. It says Matthew 6:29. Well, actually start with 6:28. Says, and why take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, this is a red letter edition. This is Jesus talking. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Whether withal shall we be clothed? For all these do the Gentiles seek. That's a quotated, or in parentheses there, letting us know that of a Gentile people, that's what we long for. And we worry about those things. Clothing, raiment, shelter, And he says this here, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these. Not that we just desire them, but we have a needfulness of them. But seek ye first, we've heard this a million times, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And whenever you come to Christ, when I came to Christ, I'm not used to standing still. Whenever we come to Christ and we forego some of those previous indulgences that we had in our life, God starts to add to us the potential, the things that we had the potential to become. In other words, you have the potential to be a good, productive citizen, a good, productive father, a good, productive man or woman of God. But because of the course of this world, because of the prince of the power of the air that rules over men's lives, as Bryce Parker said the last time he visited, because we yield our members servants unto unrighteousness or unto sin, unto unrighteousness, therefore we don't reach the potential that we could have reached without that, without Christ. We can't reach this potential. But when you receive Jesus into your heart and you accept him as your Savior and you accept him as your Lord and he starts to take over your life and starts to add to you, your home life gets better. Your marriage gets better. Your quality of life gets better. There starts being more peace in the home. There starts being more tranquility, more happiness, more hope in the home. All these things God starts to add to. He may not add money to you, but your roof. I don't want to be up just a second because I know it's a youth service and it seems like I get up on every one of them. But I really feel like the Lord put this on. I just don't know if I can relay it in the way he put it to me. Am I hot? Am I alive? All right, thank you. Anyway, but your life starts to be enriched with those great things. Somehow or another, you manage to come up with the money to get a car and things that you didn't have before. That's an enrichment. But if you go to Galatians, he says this right here, and he starts talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And those are things that are a fortification. When food is fortified, they put something in it that was not originally in its unprocessed state. So if you take raw flour, when they fortify that flour, see, when they enrich it, they just put back what was taken. But when it's fortified, it is made better, and things are added to it to give it better nutritional quality. So such as you and I, when Christ came into our hearts and we received him, and let's go to Galatians, fifth chapter? Yes. Fifth chapter. We know that there is a lust and a war in our members that we war with all the time, don't we? Whether you're young or old, it's in there. Things, different things. As you get older, this starts to abate and starts to settle down in your heart. And I'm sure other men have talked on enrichment versus fortification, but being fortified really just, I think if you look at the definition, I think it just says to strengthen. Pardon me. If you're looking at just being fortified. But when food is fortified, it's added, something's added to it that it didn't have. You did not have peace. You did not have long suffering. You didn't have the love of God. It says here, now the works of the flesh, I'm going to start here. And 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty plain, ain't it? But he says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is a fortification that you didn't have. You can just have a natural. It's not. Is it called platonic love when you just love your wife? That's just a friendship love, ain't it? Huh? Oh. You can just have an intimate love with your wife, but you can't have a true godly love for your spouse even. It takes God coming into us to help us develop that godly love. He had the love of God is why he could hang on that cross and say, forgive them for what they're doing. That's a love that I didn't have whenever I was 16. And I don't have it at 42 either. But one of these days, if God willing, I'll eventually get to that place where I love my brother and sister and love humanity enough, if I could get to that point. You don't have that. Joy, you may have happiness. You can have a little bit of joy, but you don't have the joy we're talking about, Caleb, called joy unspeakable and full of glory. That can only be achieved through the Spirit. That can only be achieved by God coming into our hearts as He all has. I'm not talking to an unsaved group. I'm talking to people that's been saved. But we can only achieve those things as He fortifies or puts something in you that wasn't there, because you could never have reached that potential. Just by going through self-help programs and all this stuff in the world to become a better person can only help you a little bit. What I'm talking about can take you to a perfect understanding and love of God. That is something that you can only have as He fortifies your life. He puts something in there that wasn't there. And He makes you a stronger individual, a more caring individual, a true example of a Christian. And then he says, peace. Oh my God, don't you love peace? I grew up in a house full of absolute fighting all the time. It was always a war and a tussle, and I'm not the only one. It's not a crutch, it's just the way it was. But I told myself, I said, when I get married, when I was a little boy, I used to tell myself, when I get married, I ain't going to be like that. But by the time I was 16, I was just like that. But then I found my Savior, and He found me. And guess what happened? He started putting peace into me and into my home, something that I did not have, something that you don't normally have, is what He starts to add to you through the fruits of the Spirit. Am I off on all this? Well, it sounds good, but Hershey's taste good too, but they're not healthy. Long-suffering. Oh, my goodness. I don't know hardly anybody in the world that suffers long. They'll suffer a while. But Jesus said this. He said, someone asked of your coat, give them your cloak also. If a brother asks of you to go 1 mile, go ye twain. That's the long-suffering He's talking about. Not just bearing or putting up with something for a while. People can do that. But when He came and He started fortifying my life, He put that in me. And there's still a whole lot more of that I need in me. I can go twain. I just can't make thrice. Is that the right word? I can go two, but I can't go three yet. I look at some people and they can go half a dozen. I'm thinking, wow. That's long suffering. I just go long suffering. See, I ain't quite there yet. Gentleness. All to be gentle. That's not effeminate. To be gentle is not effeminate. To be gentle is to care. To be gentle with your words. To be wise as serpents and harmless as a dove. Only Jesus can make you that way. That's one of the things that He puts in your heart. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in it if you don't have it. It's a simple fact. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Those are the things. He goes right off into that right there, how to restore a brother. That's all I'm going to say. I just wanted to talk just for a second on the difference that you are enriched in your natural lives. And you don't, I don't know that we always do understand how God has actually helped to just fortify our life. He's taken you and added something to you that you did not have the ability or the potential of your own to reach. He put that in you. He looked at that process and said, I want to add something to this one. And I'm thankful that He did. I'm thankful that He called me. He gave me this opportunity. I just wanted to share that with you, okay? I think some of the testimonies went that way. And I felt that on my heart. And if you don't get nothing out of that, then just understand whenever you read it on a bread box, there's a difference between enriched and fortified.
find it interesting how you can be sitting down, having a million and ten thoughts racing through your head, and you stand up here and you go blank. Well, I was listening to Dad talk, and he mentioned one word that really stood out to me, and it was potential. And it made me think of all the potential that I have and that everybody has here. Everybody here has the potential to either fall and, you know, go by the wayside, or they have the potential to take what they hear if they'll just listen and receive for a change. And if they'll just take the things that they hear and apply them, and I'm not saying that it's easy. Oh, no. No, no, I hear many things that would apply to me that would help me, and, you know, I probably need to change them, but it's not easy to change. And, you know, the reason why you can want change so much and want to be a better person, yet not, you can want it with all you have, but it's changing your nature. You know, anytime I think of nature, I think of that, you know, the story with the frog and the scorpion. You know, there was this frog and the scorpion needed to get to the other side of this pond. Just so happened, he was walking and came across this frog. The frog, being gullible and naive enough, said yes to let the scorpion ride on his back completely across that river or pond. So they swim and they swim, just keep swimming. It's what we all do, ain't it? One way or another, we all just keep swimming. But they got just inside of land. When,
promise, didn't he?
Yeah, and he did promise. He promised, I won't sting you.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I promised I wouldn't do that again. Yep. I promised when I got my speeding ticket, I would quit speeding. Guess what? I left the house 5 minutes late for work, and guess what I found myself doing? That's right. But they got just inside of land when suddenly something clicked in that scorpion and his nature took over. And no matter how many promises or how bad he didn't want to sting that frog, he yielded to his nature and he stung him and they both drowned. And I don't want to be the person that just gets inside of land, just inside of my destination, just to have the one thing I wasn't willing to change, or the one aspect of my life that doesn't mesh with what I need to do, drag me down and make me sink and drown. The world's an ocean, people. It is not the Sea of Tranquility. Oh, no. I personally have never been out there, but I have seen people that have left. I've seen the precious few that have come back. And it breaks my heart to see what scars it has left on them. Oh, they may pass it off as they're fine. Well, deep down they're not, because they know. And if you have been here and you have heard something, you know it will haunt you the whole time you're out there. And no amount of whatever it is you pick, whether it's fast cars or whatever, there will always be that voice in the back of your head telling you where you need to be. And I don't want to be one of the people, that just walks the edge. You know, I don't want to be one of the people that just stands there and tiptoes on the ledge just wondering, will I or won't I jump? Nobody here wants to see you fall. Nobody. We may have our disagreements. We may have our spats and not like each other for a little while. But at the end of the day, nobody wants to see you fall. And we understand that there is problems, but we can. But if you will just listen. Just listen. And God will help you through it. And I just want to listen and do what I need to do to be a better person.
I just wanted to say I'm thankful to be here tonight. It's good to be back. I've been out for the past 2 weeks, I think. And it's kind of ironic that Jaron was talking about water. I went to Miller's Mansion. It's some of the tallest cliffs in Heber Springs, and we were jumping off of them. Well, when I first got there, I go over there and I look down, and it's about a 70-foot drop, and it's just water down there. And you kind of, you're all ready to jump. Before you get there, you're like, oh, this isn't going to be nothing. You get there and you look over and you're like, yeah, let me think about this. Well, I'm standing there thinking about it, and next thing I know, there's this little kid that jumps off, you know. I'm like, well, can't think about it now. I got to jump. I can't look bad with this little five-year-old just jumped off. And I'm like, okay. Well, I finally get up the nerve to jump, and I jump. And right as I hit the water, I cramp. Oh. And I'm down there, and it's 70-foot deep, so there's no walking. And lucky enough, my cousin, he jumps off behind me, helps me over to the wall, get me up. And I'm like, you know, if there wasn't anybody to help me, I would have drowned it. And it's kind of like when you're walking. As a Christian, you always know that God's going to be there. If you fall, he's going to help you up. You know, if you're crawling, he's going to be there with you. You take one step, he's going to take two. And I just hope I can increase my Christianity. I've been with my cousins the last couple of weeks, and they're out there in the world, and you know, a couple of days, you're like, they're cool. And then that third day comes around, you're like, okay, this is kind of getting boring. I'm ready to get back to church. And, you know, lost my train of thought. I'm just thankful to be here tonight.
All right.
Going over in my mind, I was just thinking of everything that's been said and the good words, and just about, you know, for some reason Job came to my mind, and of all the things that happened to Job and how yet he still stayed faithful, and how his wife even told him, why don't you just curse God and die, and no matter what, he still stayed faithful. And no matter what everybody else was saying to him, he stayed faithful. And I was just going to read in Job 19. Didn't really know where to start. I'll start in 18. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me. And they whom I love turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin and to my flesh. And I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends.
For the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God? Are you not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
And that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord. And though I know, like has been said, no matter what comes our way, though the skin worms eat my flesh, I know my Savior lives. I know he's faithful. I know he's there. I know he's watching me. I know he's watching each and every one of us and where we are, and that he cares about us and where we are. And I want to stand with my Lord no matter what wind may blow against me or come my way, no matter what comes your way. I'm going to stand with the Lord. His whole family was taken from him, everything he had. He had everything that could happen to him happened, but he stayed faithful, and I want to be able to stay in that place no matter what comes my way. My Savior lives, my Lord. My Redeemer lives. Amen. I'm just so thankful to be here and to feel your love and support. And I just desire all your prayers.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm thankful to be here tonight. Listening to all the things being said this afternoon and the different the zeal the youth has and the want to. I believe there's a want to, you know, to for the youth and to get closer to God. And as there is with all of us, I think there's a want to and the reason I said to youth because you know I never thought of having a message or a just for the youth. It's just in my mind, it's been God's people, but to make a contrast, when I was a youth, I thought my thought pattern was, "What would I say to this older person?" You know, I'm still wet behind the ears. You know, what could I say to him? So I flip flopped what I've done. I forget. You know, when you grow up and you get responsibilities. You can get too many responsibilities sometimes, and you kind of lose sight of where people are at. But and with that, you know, looking at our fine group of young people we have, and see them coming along, and realizing that you know sometimes they don't say anything, and. And I know there's a spark down in their heart, and they're you know, and sometimes they don't know what to do. I know there's variations of different. When I was young, I had all kinds of emotions, and didn't know how to, you know, express them, or didn't know if I even should. And there's probably some I expressed I shouldn't have. But one thing, after listening to everybody and Sister Cindy, it just got up. And you know, the hope that Job had, he knew his Redeemer liveth. And had that hope. And he said, "Those ye skin worms devoured his flesh, yet shall see my Maker." And with that, one thing I can say to the youth and everybody else, I recommend you the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong seeking Jesus. The Word says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me, all mankind. And someone mentioned, today about doing our first love, our first love. Isn't he our first love? Yes. Something about the name of Jesus that we've heard. And Brother Smith said how we was raised, how we grew up. And that name was constantly in front of me, and it has as it's been in front of you. Something about not just the name, the syllables or the letters that spell Jesus, but what it means, isn't it? It means something. And when I even think of those things, you know, it just starts to touch my heart. And, that Jesus, and as simple as it may be, and, sometimes I think that sometimes we, or I do, I understand all this about this and this, this, you know, these issues and doctrine. And those are good, aren't they? Those are good. But just to realize what my Lord and Savior came and did, God sent him to do, and he fulfilled that, died on the cross. I know that's a simple message sometimes, but still can touch a heart. And I'm thankful that God is still in the, he can still touch our hearts. And he has. And there was a time in my life, I was raised up in a church, and a Christian church, and had several touches and backslid. But there's still something down there. There is still a spark. But God, it wasn't nothing that I didn't deserve anything. And there was nothing I did except ask God to come into my heart, because somebody said something, and I remembered that something that somebody did, something, a message that was said, or just an act of kindness that someone did in the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that we got something to fall back on, when all seems lost and all seems undone, and God in his infinite mercy can find a place to touch our hearts. I recommend to you the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I recommend him highly. Let him come and touch your heart tonight. Open up to him tonight. Surely there's somewhere, some place in your heart that you need something fulfilled in there. That you need something, and you need the Lord to come in and strengthen that, fortify that, enrich that. Oh, God, touch our hearts tonight. Yes, Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord. Yes. I appreciate God tonight.
All that I am, Praise God. Well, appreciate the Lord. And I appreciate our young people. They're the church of tomorrow. They've got to, we want to ensure that they get this mantle, that they, we pass this torch to them, and that they really get it. And I feel like they are. God's working in their lives, and I'm really thankful for that. I'm, Brother Phil mentioned this morning, and I told him in the Dominican Republic, I said, I'm going to start promoting a trip for the youth and some of the people in our church, that God would lay it on their hearts to go to the Dominican Republic in June of next year. And I plan to mention it in our meeting, and any of the youth in some of the other churches. Brother Danny Rowe from Brother Dave's Assembly in Godfrey just called me. They've got a Dominican family that's been coming there a little bit, and just recently, but the brother has to go back to keep from violating his visa, and so they were calling me to get him some references, you know, how to get a hold of somebody over there to find a church like that. And and I told Brother Rowe, I said, y'all be praying with us. Maybe some of the youth in Godfrey want to go. I really feel like, you know, it would really help the youth there, as well as it would help our youth to see, help anybody to go over there. It helps me every time I go. You know, it's like I'm getting my vision all over again every time I go. I may be the one giving out a big part of it while I'm there, because they want me to talk. But there's always plenty to say, because they're just like little birds, just waiting for, just a morsel to eat. And the Lord's in it in such a way that it's so exciting to see them hungry that way. And it's so hard to find people in America. America's waxed, Jesus used that word, gross, waxed cold. You can't hardly touch people. People, you know, are numb to senses, and you can't hardly get, God can't hardly touch, it's hard for God to touch people. Used to, you could just preach a simple message on salvation and people would get up and come to the altars. Now it takes quite a while to penetrate. It may have to come several services to get softened up enough in their conscience to see their need for God. It's just the way it is. This country is difficult to deal with concerning God. And the Lord's reaching out into these other countries, and I understand that God's doing more than one thing in that. He's starting to make a way and open a doorway and a gateway into other countries for the millennium. God's going to judge this nation. I know enough about Bible prophecy to know that, you know, our little bitty children walking around here, they'll probably never get as old as I am before it they won't, before it happens. In the next 20 years, well, this country will have seen its glorious height. God's going to do some wonderful things in it before he judges it, but he's going to judge this nation. Anytime God invests as much as he's invested in this nation, and a nation turn on him the way this one has, he'd have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know, this country's promoting homosexuality just about as fast as it can trot. And God would have to resurrect that ungodly nation and repent to them for judging them and burning them up if he don't judge this country. But he will. God won't, he won't tolerate things forever. But I understand God's purpose and his plan. He's not in this to save America. He's in this to reach those that he can save out of it. And God's reached in and touched many, many lives. And he is yet to manifest himself fully to this world through his church. And so there is something glorious coming. That's something else. I may be telling you about a judgment that's coming, but let me tell you the flip side of that coin. There's a glory coming that this world has never seen. A church just like the New Testament church. That, you know, all the miracles that took place. And did you ever stop and think why God does miracles and healings and manifest himself in a great manifestation? It's to draw attention to what he's doing. It's to get people's attention. He's not, you know, God's not a cosmic Santa Claus that just, you know, you can call on him anytime you want to just to come and, defy nature and, you know, do something for you every time you're in a jam you need out of it. God wants us to, one of the things he wants us to do is get to a place that we're not doing things that's causing some of these catastrophes to happen. But then there are other things that happen. I told somebody, I said, there's four reasons in the Bible that death comes. One of them is God's judgment. Another one is just chance. Chance happeneth to all men, the Bible said. And then another one is to bring death. And another one is for the glory of God. God, you know, they asked the Jesus' disciples asked him when he healed a man, said, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, no. He said, neither. He said, this is for the glory of God. God just wants to show his glory sometime. Sometimes he wants to manifest himself and bear witness that he is real. And when God's working in the end of a world to harvest that world, he gets a people ready that he can manifest himself through, and the works and power of God. When Paul mentioned to, was it the Corinthian church, wasn't it? When he said, I didn't come to you in words of man's wisdom, but I came in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. That God was doing something and demonstrating and manifesting himself to those people. To draw their attention to him and what he was doing. One time, you know, there's some scriptures on, Jesus said one time, he said, if you don't believe on me, believe on the work, me for the work's sake. Just, there's a work God's doing, and he's doing some of this for the work's sake. And I was telling Brother Green, I said, we prayed for his neighbor, his neighbor's little girl. And I told him, I said, you need to start praying. I've been asking God to do some things for his work's sake. I said, we need some manifestation of God to draw attention to this. But I said, we need to be responsible to live up to the demonstration that God might manifest for us. So I said, let's pray that God will help us be worthy to be used of him in that way. And then let's ask God to help us. And so there's something glorious coming. Jesus is coming in the glory of his Father with his angels, I believe that says. Put that up there for me in Matthew 16. That would be the 27th verse, probably. Somewhere right in there, 27 and 28. good scripture that the Lord says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels." That's his ministry. That's not talking about third heaven angels aren't coming here on this earth with him, but he's coming with messengers, angels. Put it back up there. I'm not done yet. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. There's that judgment I was telling you about. He's going to reward every man according to his works. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's life, eternal. You know, God is going to, and the way he's going to do it is with his word. His words and a church that manifest him is a judgment seat that'll be set up, that God will judge this world just like he judged that world back there. Now look at the next verse of what he said. "Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death." That's the people he was talking to, the little crowd that was before him. He said, "I'm telling you, some of you people aren't going to die before you see this happen, till you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, in the glory of his Father, to reward every man according to his works." So Jesus, he's coming in a glory. He's coming back for a glorious church. Doesn't have a spot or wrinkle. Well, first he'll have to come in it and get all the spots and wrinkles out of it. And that's what we're working on. We're trying to get there. Some of you young men, no doubt, will see the glory of God in its fullest height. And so, you know, God's judgment is not bad, because you won't be included in on God's wrath. If you serve him, you'll be included on his glory. You'll be glorified. Brother Pryor was using the word fortified. I'll add on to his message, tap onto it, and say, you'll be fortified till you're glorified. He's going to glorify. Peter said that this is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, they experienced that glory. They were in the midst of that height of God's glory in the end of that world. And it's coming back down here in the end of this world. And God has called you and I to be a part of the restoring of the church, that God can come, that the Lord can come. He's going to come in the end of this world. It's one of the things I mentioned, and I'm not going to preach or say much more, but this morning on the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, we was talking about this. You know, John saw the Lord sitting on a throne, and he was showing the future, and he said he was like a jasper stone and a sardine stone. And I can't remember right now. I think the first stone, didn't he mention jasper? Is that the first stone in Revelations 4:3? No, that was the rainbow around about the throne, but the jasper. He looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. Well, the jasper stone is that's the stone of Judah in the Bible, of the 12 stones that was on the breastplate of the high priest. Jesus was the no, wait just a minute. That's the emerald. The jasper, that's the last stone, wasn't it? Which was Benjamin. But when you look at the stones in Exodus 28, that's not the sardius was the first stone, which was the firstborn that had the inheritance, to carry on the inheritance of the blessing of Abraham, Reuben. But here, it's amazing how he put the order here is jasper first, because he was talking to the Gentile church. And Benjamin was the last son. He's a type of the Gentiles, and so he changes the order there. the last stone's the first, because this was for the Gentiles that he was talking to. But then he included the sardius or sardine stone because it represented the inheritance of the firstborn, Reuben. And then the emerald was the Judah, the line of the tribe of Judah, the king, our king and savior. That's, he put all of those little types in that verse, just giving John a picture. Of course, I'm sure when John saw that, he just knew immediately what it was. But we didn't grow up as Jews, did we? We didn't grow up knowing what all those 12 stones were and who was in the birth order of all of them and which one was in which place. And it, you know, when we read about it, we just skip over that sardine stone, the jasper stone, and then we're around like, you know, we don't know what all that means. We just read on. But don't you know that when a Jew that had their eyes open to who Jesus was, when they read that, they understood what it meant. It illuminated something about all the detail of the glory of God, that God was, you know, how the glory of God that was in Christ for the church. And, meaning and understanding has something to, that's what something I've noticed in the Dominican Republic. When I first went over there, those people were just dead. I mean, it's just like talking in a funeral or something. It ain't a funeral over there now. I'm telling you, them people, they get excited about what they're singing. They're singing body songs. They're singing doctrine. And what's making them happy is what they're singing about, and what they've been taught, and the Word of God that they've got in their understanding. That's what will make you shout. That's what gives you joy, is when you know something about what God has done for you and what He is doing and what He's going to do. The benefits of serving Him. And so it does something to our life. To what we know is what causes us to have a surety, and our hope is made steadfast. I'm thankful for that today. You know, I'm so glad that I'm not wavering or wondering about certain things. There's certain things about God that I know I know. I know I know my Savior. I know in whom I believe. I know Him, and I know He's real. Hallelujah. He's been made real to me. I'm not saying that I did that. Not nothing because of my greatness that I got that. He gave me that. I had to obey Him. I had to be patient. I had to fit in His order to get it. But somehow or another, He was able to hold me. Somewhere or another, He gave it to me. Hallelujah. I got it. And it's enriched me, it's fortified me, and it's glorified me. And He's coming back in even a greater glory than we have right now. Let me tell you something. If you come in here one day and you can't find a seat, and people are excited about God getting a hold of their lives because He saved them out of a corrupt world out here, God gets on the move and people start getting touched, I'm going to tell you, you're going to say, man, we got to get up early in the morning. We got to get there early to get a seat. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Somebody may come in the door. They may bring somebody in on a stretcher. They may run out the door. They may, you know, you may before you this is over, you may see some blind people. Saying, I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not just meaning, you know, you can go to heaven blind naturally, but you can't go blind spiritually. Jesus prayed for a man one time, and he touched him. He said, how do you see? He said, I see all men like trees. And really, when God first touches you, you get a vision of what God's doing, you know, like John the Baptist said, every tree that's not you know, he preached the coming of the Lord and said Jesus is coming. There's one coming after me, and he said that every tree that brings forth not fruit will be hewn down. You realize that, you know, we're a plant. You begin to pick up some things, like, you know, this man didn't, he wasn't seeing clearly. I mean, this was a natural touch, but it had a spiritual application or meaning. Jesus prayed for him again. Now, you know, it had to have a meeting. Jesus don't have to pray for somebody twice to get them to see. But the second time he prayed for him, he said, what do you see now? How do you see? He said, I see all things clearly. And that's the touch that we're looking for. You know, at first you're just getting, you're just seeing, you're seeing what God is doing, but you're not getting a full, complete understanding about what He's really going to accomplish and what He's really, all of His works and how it all functions, the operation of God. You hang around long enough, God will give you that second touch and you'll say, I see all things clearly. Things are getting clear. I'm starting to see better than I've ever seen before. Hallelujah. I can see God working. And this is not just a little bitty thing that we're looking at, you know, but we're beginning to see that God has many ways. Sometimes we know how He works. We're learning more about how God does things. Told a man the other day, I said, I'm not going to beat you up. I said, God's not beating you up. Why should I beat you up? I said, I'm watching Him. And I said, you know, He knows you better than anybody knows you, and He knows how to deal with you. I don't. But I am learning not to, you know, if God don't put His hands on something, I'm learning to keep mine off of it. I'm waiting on God to move in on the case. Bible says don't judge anything till Jesus comes. Wait till He shows up. And our judgment's not to damn anybody or cut them off, but it's to save them. We've got to look for God's saving judgment. He's a Savior. The way He works in people's life, when His wrath hits you, there ain't nothing left to say. God's already, He's worked everything there is to work. He's a saving judge. He's working to save everybody. He's got a rehabilitation program. He can put you back into His kingdom and fix you up and correct the things that was hindering you. He can give you a new nature. That's what I'm looking for. I've already got the new nature. I'm just trying to get God to help me to move over into it more. It's there. I'm just not functioning in it fully. But I'm learning more about it all the time. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, God bless you, young people. Get a hold of this and help us. Help us get God moving in our midst. I think we can please God in a way that He'll even move in a greater way for us. So let's petition Him for it. And be praying about the trip next year in June to go to the Dominican Republic. And before we go home tonight, if we could get some men just to help us move the washer and dryer out of the gym back in they're having to carry home. You know, there's towels and different things here that has to be washed, and people stay here, bed clothes and things that we have to take care of, and they don't have a washer and dryer in our laundry room downstairs. So if we could get about just a handful of men that would stay right after church, and I think we've got a dolly, Brother Durham said. Could I get three or four hands that somebody would say, I'll help move that in there. Some of you men, all right, there's men that's willing, and we just need to get that in there and get it hooked back up. It won't take but a really few minutes. It'd be, if we have a need to use the laundry this week, well, they'll have it available to them. Then we've got several things in the Tucker room that needs to be put back in its place. In fact, I opened the door to the Tucker room today after Bible study, and I just shut it back right quick. I thought, Lord, in the morning, what are we going to do with all this? I didn't know it was all in there, but I guess I needed to know that it's somewhere. But we need to get it back. Is it stuff in the litigator room too? I'm glad I didn't open that door. Anyway, so we won't do that tonight, but we will have a work day next Saturday. Keep getting ready for the youth meeting. It's going to be here in what, 3 weeks? Less than 3 weeks. What's today? The 8th? 9th? What is today? 8th. The 26th. We've got, 18 days. 18 days. We're 2.5 weeks away from a youth meeting in Little Rock. And I want you to start praying tonight when you go to bed. If you think about it, say a little prayer before you go to bed. God, give us a cool 26th, 7th, and 8th. Cool days of July. We need the Lord to cool things off. Get us down in the 80s for those 3 days. Sister Ann. With the workers in the kitchen and dining room. What time is choir practice? We will have I'll just give you a forward notice that the Sunday before the youth meeting, that Sunday night, 5 o'clock service, will be a all-out church cleaning service. You go home and eat, and put on your work clothes and come back. We need to have a general cleanup that night and get some, you know, whatever the final touches we need to do. I mentioned in our men's prayer breakfast, and by the way, we had a good fellowship men's prayer breakfast at Mimi's Saturday morning, and if you didn't get notified, I'm sorry, I apologize. There's one table said none of us at this table got any notification there would be a breakfast. Well, I think it was included in Sister Yvonne's text. You might not have seen it, that read it that way, but anyway, we had 6 or 8 brethren that wasn't there. We still had a fairly good number of brothers, but it was the smallest one we've had, and it was because men didn't get somehow. Sometimes when men talk to men, I'm going to leave that off. I thought that would help us men, but it's not going to come out good, I see. Anyhow, sometimes for women forget to tell us everything. But sometimes we don't hear everything they say. I know that's right. You know, Brother Weiniger didn't make it. He said, I didn't know about it. Well, I'm not a betting man, but Joyce probably told him. I'm sure when you told her about it, she said, I told you. Didn't she? Probably. You can't remember. Well, anyway, I'll leave that alone. There we got an honest woman in the house. All right. Anyway. We did have we talked a little bit about the youth meeting, and I mentioned that we might have this cleaning on Wednesday night, and then some of the brethren reminded me, Brother Fred and other brothers, that we'll no doubt have company on Wednesday night. So we can't, you know, we can't put her company to work. So we'll have to. So I said, well, let's do it Sunday night before, and then we'll be ready for our company Wednesday night. So I'm looking forward to the youth meeting. Let's be praying that God would give us something special. I'd like to, something Sister Smith said in her testimony, I'd like to, and that the Lord would do something that would not just be a good blessing for our youth when they're here, but it would be lasting. It would be, it'd be life-changing. I'd like to see God do some things for our young people that stays with them. You know, it's just, they didn't just come and get a good blessing, but that they got some things that was impregnated in their life that'll be there for till Jesus comes. All right, praise God. Oh, yeah, Sister Thompson's wanting to know when to have that meeting. Well, I can't come up with it. That's the reason I hadn't said. 3 and 4 on Sunday. Well, it'll probably need 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes maybe, huh? Okay. Well, how about 2:45? And that way, if it's 2:45, then the choir can have their practice. They're doing so good, I don't want them to get rusty. I don't want them to, you know, fall by. I don't want them to go backwards. I want them to keep going forward. All right, let's stand and give God a praise. 2:45 next Sunday. We'll announce it again Wednesday night, but and Sunday, remind me, we'll announce it again Sunday morning. But all the workers in the kitchen and dining room have a short meeting with Sister Thompson and Sister Inez Watson at 2:45. All right. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness to us. Hallelujah. Oh, precious Savior, we love you. God, we give you praise for your goodness, for these things that you're giving us and these services, the touches you give us, Lord. We're appreciative, oh God, the work that you've done in our lives. Ask you, Lord, to help us keep working in our lives. Oh God, help us, Lord, to serve you even in a greater way. Help us to get closer to you, Lord. Be more humble to work with you, Lord, to let you work in our lives, oh God. Work your will. We give you praise. Love you and thank you for all that you've done and are doing. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. God bless you. I'm glad Logan came back. Brother Sean, we appreciate having y'all. Hallelujah.